in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Drop down to verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels. Now look at that, would you? He took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Notice the Bible talks about consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, and that is Christ Jesus. He is our great high priest. Now, that is a little difficult maybe for us to come to grips with, because we look at things differently, all right? We no longer have a priesthood in the sense of the biblical sense. There is no priesthood. Now, there's a reason it doesn't exist anymore, all right? And I'm going to try to illustrate that just a little bit for you today if I can. Marion, I'm going to make my brother, he's going to become the high priest this morning, all right? So get up, all right? Just leave your Bible there, and you come and stand right here, okay? Now, you see, it was Old Testament time, right there, okay? All right, he's the high priest. The sinner just came in. That's going to be Lance, all right? So there's the sinner. And sinner, pick up a songbook, okay? Grab a songbook. There you go. Now, wait right there. In the Old Testament day, if you were a sinner, and you would have been if you'd have been in the Old Testament day, if you were, today you're a sinner, okay? But in that day, as a sinner, you had to bring your offering to the priest, okay? So, sinner, bring your offering to the priest, all right? Here he is. He brings his offering to the priest, and he gives it to the priest, entrusting that priest to take care, really, and if you'll notice the words that we use in verse 17 where we read, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, all right? So the sinner brought to the priest, and he gives him that offering. Now the priest turns around, and he heads up, and he's going to put it on the altar, all right? We're going to have that little pew be the altar for right now. And that sacrifice is laid there, and it's burnt, and it's offered up. But the sinner couldn't come to the altar. The sinner came to the priest, all right? The sinner came to the priest. The priest brought the offering and placed it on the altar, and it was burned there, okay? And it was necessary for that priest to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, all right? That was the necessity in that day. It had to be done that day, that way in that day. You say, what's the difference today? Boy, am I glad you asked, okay? Very glad you asked. All right, thank you, priest, and you can sit down right there, and I may need you again. If I do, I'll let you know, all right? So here we go. Well, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is now our high priest, okay? He said, why is that? Because of the work that he did on the cross, all right? He came, the Bible tells us, he took our sin on in his body, and he bore that sin to the cross for me and you, okay? He took our sin. You said, I hadn't even been born yet. Buddy, that's the miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ and the greatness of our God, okay? And he gave his son to be that, all right? And he bore our sins on that cross for us. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. He died in your place and my place. Right? He died in your place and my place to pay our sin debt. He was buried and he rose again the third day. He triumphed over death, hell, and the grave, all right? And he's ascended back to the Father. But he is today our high priest. Now, I want to talk to you just a few things about it. Now, we're not going to cover everything. We don't have that much time, all right? But I want to talk about just a few things about that. Number one is our high priest. He offers a better service than the high priest in the Old Testament ever could do. You say, well, how do you figure that? Chapter 7. I told you we'd be in Hebrews chapter 7 pretty quickly. Chapter 7, if you will. Turn there in your Bible. Look in verse 23. Verse 23. Chapter 7, verse 23. And they truly were many priests. Talk about the Old Testament. Because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Hey, those priests in that Old Testament, they had the same problem me and you got. We die. We're physical bodies. We're going to die. And that was it. There were many priests. Why? Because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, you say, which man? The Lord Jesus Christ. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hey, they had many priests in the Old Testament. They served God in the tabernacle, in the days of the tabernacle. They served God in the days of the temple, all right? They would bring that offering in that was given to them. It would be offered on the altar, it'd be burnt, and they did that duty and the service for the people, but they had a problem. They would die. They would die. Now, Jesus Christ is much better. Did you catch what was said there in verse 25? He ever liveth. He ever liveth. He'll never die. He's always serving. He's always there. He's never missing in action. He's available to every generation. He's available in every nation. Brother Dice can go to England and preach Jesus Christ to them. He's available to them just like he's available to us right here. All right? He is not bound by any language. I started to raise my hand in Sunday school and ask the question. He asked first, I said, how long you think it'll take you to learn the language? All right? Now, you say, well, they speak English. Yeah, but did you hear some of the words he said, what they called? Did you say wig waggle or chin waggle? Chin wag. Yeah, man, how many of y'all know what chin wag is? Yeah. You have to learn to speak language when you go over there, all right? You have to learn to do it, all right? So, hey, but I'll tell you, our Lord's not constrained by that. Doesn't matter what nation he can be. He ever liveth, all right? He ever liveth, notice, to make intercession for them. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's there to intercede on our behalf. On our behalf. Hey, he hears us, all right? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us that we have an advocate with the Father. And that advocate is Jesus Christ, the righteous. Hey, do you understand that? You have an advocate with God the Father. You have one that represents you, all right? You have one that's living to make intercession for you, all right? He's there on your behalf to make intercession. If accusations are brought before God about you, there's Jesus Christ to represent you, all right? What a blessing it is to have that advocate and eternal. Hey, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he offers a lot better service than those old high priests could have ever offered, all right? He ever liveth to do it. And he ever liveth to represent us before the Father that's in heaven. What a wonderful blessing it is to know he's there for us. But not only does he offer a better service, but when he came and when he offers a sacrifice, he offers a better sacrifice. A better sacrifice. Still got your Bible open, Hebrews 7. Look at verse 27. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Now I want you to notice there's a very important word in that verse. That little O-N-C-E, four-letter word, once. Once. I said he offered a better sacrifice. When you read those Old Testament priests, and you read the Old Testament, you find those priests, they had to come, as this scripture said, every day. Every day. Every day they came to offer sin. They came to offer sacrifice. You said, why'd they come every day? Because you sin every day. Because there's a need every day. All right? There was a need. They would come daily to offer those sacrifices. Notice, first, that priest would offer sacrifice for his own sin. He'd have to get himself cleaned up before he could offer for that other sinner. Right? So he had to come that way. But our Lord and Savior, when he came, he didn't have to do that, all right? He's got such a better sacrifice. The sacrifice he offered was not the blood of bulls and goats and pigeons. It wasn't that. Hey, the sacrifice he offered was himself. He brought himself. He was the sacrifice. When the Bible said he laid down his life, that's exactly what he did. When he went to that cross, and you've heard it, other people have said it, I believe it with all my heart, I believe then they had the cross there and those soldiers were ready to nail him to that cross, he laid himself down. They didn't have to struggle with him. They didn't have to fight him. Why? He offered himself as a sacrifice. He was that sacrifice. Notice what kind of sacrifice it was. Hebrews 7, look at verse 26. Verse 26, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled. Oh, my soul, what a sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, if the sinner here was looking for a lamb to bring to sacrifice, he had to go through the flock and make sure he found one that had no blemish, nothing that could be found on him. But I want to tell you something, the best he had to offer was not holy. It was not undefiled. All right, it wasn't. No, sir. But I want to tell you, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he offered a better sacrifice because it was a perfect sacrifice. It was holy, it was undefiled, it was harmless. That was the sacrifice of himself. Can I just say this? That's way beyond spotless, okay? Way beyond spotless. Holy, undefiled, separate from sinners. Separate from sinners. What a sacrifice. Pure sacrifice. Perfect sacrifice. But not only that, it was a sacrifice that purifies. Go to chapter 10 in Hebrews, would you? Chapter 10 in Hebrews. Look with me at verse 11. The Bible said, and every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, but wait a minute, which can never take away sins. But this man, once again, that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Hey, we're talking about a sacrifice, not a sacrifice to just cover sin, but a sacrifice to take away sin. To take away sin. Oh, what a difference that is. That is a sacrifice that purifies. That's our great high priest, okay? No Old Testament high priest could ever do that kind of sacrifice. Nobody that today that would parade and say, I'm a priest, none of them can do that. Can't touch it, all right? because they're not holy, they're not harmless, they're not undefiled, they're not separate from sinners, they are sinners. But our Lord did. Oh, and boy, was it ever a sufficient sacrifice. Sufficient. We've emphasized it. We emphasized it back there in chapter 7, that word daily. We see it again in verse 11 here in chapter 10. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes, notice, the same sacrifices. But this man in verse 11, after he had offered one sacrifice, we get that once again. That once is all it took. That one sacrifice did the job. That one sacrifice paid the sin debt for mankind. Hey, listen to me, friend. Forever, forever, it paid the sin debt. I it just raises my hackles when somebody has the audacity to suggest that what Jesus Christ did wasn't sufficient and that you and I still need to pay for our sin. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You can't pay for your sin. I can't pay for my sin. The only sin debt that, and the only price that could have been paid was the price that our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave. He gave himself. He went to that cross. He took upon him our sin. He died in our place. And in one movement, he provided payment for the sin of the whole world. It can't be improved upon. It doesn't need to ever be made again. It was sufficient. It was sufficient. Hey, our great high priest offers better service, and he offers a better sacrifice. But another thing he did for us, he offers better access. Better access. That priest, get back up here, priest, all right? That priest, just stand there facing that direction. That priest would come every day and minister, and he would offer sacrifice right here at that altar, the brazen altar that was out in the tabernacle, in the temple area, all right? But once a year, he had to go behind the veil. And if you would, just assume this right here is that veil. Now, it hid the Holy of Holies. And once a year, that high priest would go around behind that veil to the Holy of Holies. But if he ever went back there unworthy and he hadn't taken care of his own sin, God would kill him. He'd have died right there on the spot. That was that high priest. Oh, but we have a better high priest. And he offers a better access. Hey, any old priest, if you'd let me say it this way, any priest was able to come offer in that first tabernacle, if you will, an offering on the brazen altar. But only the high priest could go behind the veil into the Holy of Holies. But he had to be right when he entered, all right? Now, what happened? Thank you. You can be seated. What happened? Well, what happened is when Jesus Christ died, the Bible tells us the veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And the significance was that now the way into the Holy of Holies was open. It was open. It was no longer just the only one could get in was that high priest. No, Jesus Christ provided direct access to the Father. He said, prove it in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 4, all right? Hebrews chapter 4. All right, Hebrews chapter 4, I want you to notice in verse 16. Verse 16, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hey, we can come boldly. We can come boldly. I don't need to go to a priest on this earth anymore. Hey, you don't need to come to me. I'm not a priest. I'm a preacher. And there's a huge difference, okay? I have no sacrifice to offer for your sin. I'm no better than you are when it comes to the privilege of coming to God. We can come, but we can come to God by Him. Who? Our great high priest. He opened the access. And what an invitation, what an exciting invitation it is to all of us. We can come boldly under the throne of grace to find help in time of need. We can get mercy. We can get mercy. I don't have to go to him and say, hey, man, could you help me out? Could you help me out? Now, I'll tell you, you can come to me and say, preacher, I need some help. I can tell you, I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. But I can't play in place of you, okay? You still got to do that. Don't come and say, well, I'm paying you to do my praying. You can't do that. You can pay me if you want to. But I can't do your praying, all right? You got to do your own. You got to pray for yourself. But you don't need me to do it. You can come to God. Hey, boy, when I was a young boy, 9, 10-year-old boy, I came to God. I didn't have to come through anybody. I just came to him. And I said, Lord, here I am. I'm lost and I need a Savior. Direct access. You know what? I can keep coming to him. I've come to him a lot of times. I came to him yesterday. I came to him this morning. And I called out some of your names. And I prayed for you, but I prayed for me too. I didn't have to come through anybody. Why? Because what our great high priest did is opened access. He made it available. He made it available. Now, there, I don't want to stop right here, okay? There's one other thing I want to talk to you about. Would you take your Bible to Revelation chapter 5? Just easy to find. It's the last book in the Bible, okay? Pretty easy. It's right in front of the concordance, or the maps, whatever might be in your Bible, okay? Right there, Revelation chapter 5. Now, I want you to notice a verse, okay? We're still talking about our great high priest, okay? In chapter 5, the whole chapter is describing a scene in heaven. A scene in heaven. It begins, the scene begins in chapter 4. But we get over in chapter 5, verse 11, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You said, preacher, how many is that? That's a bunch. It's a whole bunch, all right? But notice, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Hey, he's saying worthy is the Lamb. Hey, that Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. That Lamb is our great high priest. I just want to say to you, worthy is the Lamb. He deserves more than we give him. He deserves more than we give him. They would come to the high priest and give them an offering for their sin. And I'm not going to go into detail about it, but just in general, the priest in that day could live too off of the offerings that were given, all right? Some of it was burnt, and if you get the picture, read Leviticus and read Numbers, read Deuteronomy, and you begin to get the picture. They lived off of that, okay, and that was part of what they received. But I want to tell you this, our great high priest deserves more than we give him, more than we give him. We don't give him what he deserves. He offers us better service than a priest, any other priest ever did or ever could do. He's offered a better sacrifice than any other priest ever could or ever did. And he did it for us. And he's given us a better access than any other priest ever could do and ever did. And you and I owe him more than we're given. More than we're given. And I just think, man, every now and then we ought to be challenged a little bit about it, to think about that great high priest, to think about what he has done. He's provided a payment for our sin, and he's made eternal life available to you and me. Not only available, but for free. Here it is, it's there. But friend, that's not the end of it. That's not the end of it. He's put within our reach all the riches of God and glory. All of it. But that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches. Now, if somebody came to me and I've said to people, look, if I can do anything for you, let me know. They said, could you give me $1 million? I said, remember what I said? If I can do anything for you, I can't do that. Hey, I could empty my bank account and you'd go through it in record time. It wouldn't take you long. You've already gone through yours, you'd go through mine, all right? Wouldn't be any problem. But let me tell you something. Through our great high priest, we have access to the riches of glory. And he says to us, you need, you just need to ask. You need to ask. Hey, you don't have to ask through me. You don't have to ask through anybody else. Because our great high priest has given us access directly to God. All you have to do, I started to say, is get on your knees. But you don't even really have to do that. All you have to do is pray and ask God. I can get on my knees, but I can only stay there just an instant because my knees hurt like crazy. I mean, it hurt like nobody's business if I kneel, and I can't stay there. But wait a minute, you hear me. Hey, you can come to him. You can come to him by faith, and he'll answer your prayer. We've got direct access. Not only that, my friend, he is our advocate. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Just two questions, and I'm done. Is he yours today? Is he yours? Have you personally put your faith and your trust in him and called upon him and asked him to save your soul? If you've never done that, you don't belong to him. You're not his merely because you were born into humanity, all right? You're a Jones or a Smith or a Rodriguez or a Zelensky, anything else, because that's a family you were born into. Listen, you don't belong to him unless you're born into his family, and that's the second birth. You must be born again. Hey, is he really your great high priest? If you said yes, then what are you doing to try to give him what he deserves? What are you doing to try to give him what he deserves? Well, preacher, I'd give him anything I had, really. Would you give him you? See, it's amazing. Some people think that, well, I'll give this. Well, you won't give everything. Because truth be told, you need a little bit to live on. So you're not going to give him all of that. But you say, well, I give him a lot. Good, good, you ought to. But really what he wants is you. What he wants is you. My wife, 41 years ago, next month, May the 23rd, right? May the 23rd, right? Amen. 41 years ago, next month, she got all of me there was. Okay? She got all of me there was. She got all of my marvelous bank account. She got my 1976 Toyota Celica. She got two Doberman Pinschers. Both dogs are dead. Car's probably in the junkyard. Hey, but she got all of me. She got all of me. Does he have all of you? She have all of you. Brother Dice got up here and he said, he read the scripture there in Isaiah 6, where Isaiah said, "Lord, here am I. Send me." Preacher, I don't want to go to the mission field. He doesn't send everybody to the mission field. But he wants all of you. He wants all of you. He wants everything that we are. And I'll tell you, he deserves it. He deserves it. Does he have you? Does he have you today? Well, listen, I think if you're not saved, you ought to consider, I need to get born again. You need to get into the family of God. You definitely need to do it. But if you're here this morning, you're saved. The question is, Lord, do you have all of me? Do you have all of me? Would you give yourself to him today? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? He is our great high priest. What he has done for us, no one else could do. No one else could come close. Nobody else could do it, but he did it for us. And what he asks for you is, I want you. I want you. Have you been born again? Listen, if you've never trusted Christ, you say, well, I've been baptized. We're not talking about baptism. We're talking about being born again. And you say, well, I've been confirmed. We're not talking about confirmation. We're talking about the new birth. You know, any other words that are used that are religious sounding, you say, well, I've joined the church. We're not talking about that. We're talking about being born again. Have you been born again? If you haven't, would you come today? In just a moment, we're going to sing a verse of invitation. When we begin to sing, if you'd just step out, walk down the aisle, meet me here at the front and say, preacher, I want to trust Christ. If you've never been born again, would you do that? Please do that. Christian, you're here. Does he have you? Does he have you? Has there ever been honestly a time where you came and said, Lord, here I am and I'm yours. You can have me. You can have all of me. Here I am. You don't need to come to me, but you need to come to God. You need to come kneel at one of these front, you know, steps. If you can't kneel, if you're like me, have a seat on the front pew and just do business with God. So why can't I do it right here? Hey, because it's good for you and me to humble ourselves before God. That's why. You ought to do it. Our Heavenly Father, would you just deal with our hearts today? Help us, Lord, to see what you've done for us. And just to understand that just a little bit of what you've done and what you're still doing for us today. And Lord, if there's one that's not saved, would you help them to come today? Walk this aisle, take my hand and say, preacher, I want to trust Christ. Lord, if there's Christians here never given themselves to you, would you help them to do it? Maybe some need to reaffirm that because they've drawn back from that gift of themselves. Lord, you just deal with our hearts today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing this morning.